We're in Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph in Perek HaBona, 5 lines down from the top. The Mishnah says, Zeh klal, kol oseh melacha melachtom is kayemis b'shabas chayiv. And apparently the Zeh klal is coming to add something. Another case which is considered melachtom is kayemis and your chayiv. So the Gemara asks, Zeh klal asuye mai, what's the addition here? Asuye, to come to be marba that your chayiv in a case of dochak, Kapizo Bekaba. So he has this pretty large piece of wood, and he digs into it and makes a receptacle of a relatively small measurement, let's say Shlosha Lugim. And there's plenty of room to dig even more, hollow out a larger cavity to make it a more functional receptacle, but he's happy now with Shlosha Lugim. So even though, for example, he may at some point in the future decide that he wants to expand this kli and dig a little bit deeper and widen the cavity, but nevertheless, you know, this is an acceptable size, and Acherim, others would be mekayim the kli as is. Not everybody wants to expand it. So if you have a kli that's 3 lugim, that's a very significant kli. You could certainly sell it on the market. And the Mishnah wants to tell you that that's also considered a melacha miskayemes, despite the fact that he has grandiose plans to expand this kli. So the Mishnah is coming to tell us that even in a case where he's doing a melacha for himself, and at this point he's intending to expand that melacha, but since others, and objectively this is a valid melacha, and people would be mekayim it as is, he's chayev. The Piskei Arid says that this Mishnah is coming to teach us that even if he does a melacha in which no one else would leave the melacha as is, ein misha mekayim osa kmo shehi, everybody would expand it. Nevertheless, in a case where he decides that this is sufficient for himself, he's chayev. Now, the Tana of our Mishnah has the case of Masates, which we said was the Malach of the Chotzvei Avonim. He's got Makav Patish, and that's the Malach of a Napach, of a blacksmith. We have Ma'atze, that's the Malach of a carpenter. And then it says, Kola ose melacha, if he does a melacha of chakikas kalim, he digs into the wood in order to make a bowl out of it, a receptacle out of it. In all the melachos, when he does a kolshu, he's chayev. Then the Mishnah records a statement of Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer hamake bekurnus ala sadan. So he takes his sledgehammer and he bangs on the anvil while he's doing the malacha. And that's called a tikkun malacha. And even though when he's makala sadan, he doesn't want to be merakea machlik, nevertheless he's chayav. In other words, he's usually when you use a sledgehammer, you use it in order to, you know, to smoothen something. Here he's not using it such. And yet he's chayv mishum makav patish. The Gemara says, my kov, what is he accomplishing if he's not hitting the tas, meaning the piece of metal that he's working on? So what does he gain by taking the hammer and banging it on the anvil? My kov, what is he accomplishing? And the Gemara says that Rabbi Rav Yosef Tiamri Chavayu Mipnei Shema Amines Yodo, he's actually practicing. He's training his hand to make sure that when he implements these blows of the hammer, he does it properly. He doesn't do it too hard or too low. He's basically in a self course, you know, of teaching him how to hammer down with the precise force to improve his malacha. So the Gemara has a problem with that. Koshu b'nei Rachva, the sons of Rachva had a problem because Elamayat, according to this, anytime I watch and I try to learn some sort of a craft is Chaza Umnusa V'Shabsa V'Gomar. Anytime that I observe a performance of a craft and I learn how to imitate that, is Hochinami de Machayev. I mean, what's the malacha here? He hasn't changed anything. He may be better at the malacha, but that's about it. El Abai V'Rov Ne'amin Shavai. We have to substitute a different explanation for why banging a hammer on an anvil while he's working is considered a malacha. Shekein Meradadei Tase Mishkan Osimkein. That in the Mishkan, when they wanted to pound the sheets of gold, this is what they did. And this will be explained in the Braisa that the Gemara is about to present. Tanya Nami Hochi, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Afa Maka Bekunas Alastan B'Shas Melocha Chayov, Shekein Meradadei Tase Mishkan Osimkein. So they would strike the hammer on the anvil while they're working, and that's what the pounders of sheets of gold did in the Mishkan. Now the wooden planks, the kroshim in the Mishkan, were covered with sheets of gold, and the blacksmiths would hammer out the gold into thin sheets. They would strike the hammer on the anvil after every three strikes of onto the sheet, onto the tas itself. Rashi explains that what by doing so, they would make sure that the hammer, the surface of the hammer that strikes and has contact with the tas, with the sheet, would remain smooth. Because if it doesn't remain smooth and it's dull, it might actually damage the surface of the sheet. And although the Tanakhama doesn't mention this, L'chora, he's not going to argue and deny the fact that the smiths would strike the anvil with their hammers while they were beating the sheets of the gold of the Mishkan, but he holds that that's not included in the category of Makah B'Patish. Why, it's done during the work. Makah B'Patish is only at the end of the work. And although the Tanakhama would admit that when the smith strikes the anvil at the end of his work, one last time, to smooth out his hammer, that would be Makah B'Patish. But if it's during the Malach itself, that would not constitute Makah B'Patish. And this leads us to the Mishnah here on Daf Kuf Gimel, the first of the two Mishnahs on the Daf. HaChoresh Kol Shehu, with regard to Meleches Harisha, we said that even if he digs a very small hole, a Kol Shehu, no significant amount, he's going to be Chayev. And the Gemara is going to ask, what is he accomplishing by digging a small hole? HaMenakesh, HaMakarsem, Vamizore, these are all three Melechas in which they rip out the bed. For example, Menakesh, they rip out the bed, weeds, the grass, because the bad grass is going to impede the development of the good grass. Hamakarsim is where he takes off branches from a tree. Let's say branches on a tree are dried up, and they are somehow depleting the tree of its resources. So in order to improve the productivity of the tree, they cut off these branches, Ramazarid. Here also he's cutting off branches. In this case, these are moist branches, pretty much new branches. And in all these cases, he's chayev for a kol shehu. Now, why would Mazarid be chayev if they're good, healthy, new branches? What's the problem? So Rashi explains, if there are too many branches on the tree, that also could exploit and deplete the resources of the tree. Therefore, they have to be cut down so that the tree is not weakened. The Aruch has a different interpretation in the case of Mizarid. He says that's krisas haprachim hagdelim al sharshia ilan. On the roots of the tree, there are certain flowers that grow, and you have to cut down those flowers. Now, in all these three cases of Menakesh, Mekarsem, and Mezaret, he's chayv for Kol Shehu. And this is going to be a tolda of Choresh, or perhaps Zorea. Now, he's not chayv for Meleches Kotzer because he has no need to take these grasses or these weeds away. He's not doing anything with them. And with regard to Menakesh, we have Machlokes in Moed Katan with regard to Shvius, which malacha you chay for in the case of Menakesh. Rabba holds he's chay mishum choresh, because through Menakesh he is softening the ground, and any softening the ground that will induce a greater productivity, that's called choresh. And Rav Yosef holds he's chay mishum zorea, because it's moel lizroim acherim shitzbuchu yosed tov, that by cutting out the extra leaves and branches and so forth, he is improving the growth rate of this tree. And that's called Meleches Zorea. Abai in the Gemara, beginning of Mava Kama, claims that he's Chayv Shtayim. He's Chayv Mishum Choresh and Mishum Zorea. Amalakei Eitzim, the Mishnah says that if he gathers together wood, I mean pieces of wood that are connected, okay, so if they're connected, there might be a malach of kotzer here, but let's assume they're connected to the tree or to the karka, and the lakita of eitzim, if it's a case of eitzim tlushim that are not growing, are not connected to the tree or to the karka, then that's only osur min rabbanon. The Rambam seems to imply that lakitas eitzim tlushim, if he gathers together even these branches of wood that are disconnected, he still might be chayav for a malacha of yipui karka. He improves the karka. Even though, again, these eitzim are tlushim. That's the chiddush of the Rambam. Now, im letaken, if his goal by collecting these pieces of wood that are connected to the tree or to the ground is l'taken es ha'ilon o es ha'karka, is improving the growth and the potential of this tree or the karka, then he's chayev with a kol shein. But if lehesek, if he's collecting these woods and these branches, and he's cutting them off in order to use that wood as firewood to fuel his bonfire, then his chiyuv would be shum meleches kotzer. Now, what is the shir meleches kotzer? So that's a sugi that we covered in the past, and that's kedei levashel beitza kala, that he has enough fuel that he can cook a very easily cooked egg in the fire that he produces when he lights up these eitzim for hasaka. That, and now, since he's collecting the eitzim for hasaka, he's chayav mishum meleches kotzer. Again, we have a similar case in asovim. Till now, we spoke about branches of trees, but now we're talking about amalakei asovim. So you have grass that's growing from the ground, and he detaches them. So im lisaken, if he's coming for the purpose of improving the karka, to make sure the karka will be free of all these grasses because he wants to plant in this karka, then he's chayav kol shehu. That would be meleches choresh, which we said that a charisha is always lahachshiras hakarka lizria, im likton laachilon lebehema. But if on the other hand he's collecting these asovim in order to feed his goat, is then the shear is not a kol shehu, but rather minimum shear is kemolei pi hagdi. Right, we saw that also in the case of hotzah, that if he's carrying asovim, which could feed a gdi, then the shear, the minimum shear from leches hotzah in this animal fodder, which is called grass, is the amount that would fill up the mouth of a goat. And then he's chayav mishum leches kotzer. So there are two options here. Maybe he's going to be chayav mishum leches zorea if his interest is letaken es hakarka, or alternatively, he's chayav mishum meleches kotzer in the case that he wants to gather together these branches in order to feed his animal. I shouldn't say branches, I should say these grass. Now, I said before that if it's a takenes akarka, then he's chayav mishum meleches zorea. I may have said meleches zorea, but what I really meant to say was mishum meleches choresh. Because again, any heksha karka for the purpose of zriya generates a violation of meleches choresh, and he's chayav b'kol shehu. Now, the Mishnah says that Harish is Bekolshu, which sounds like he's digging a very small hole in the ground. So the Gemara asks immediately, Lamai Chazi, you know, you have some sort of need for the Harish of Kolshi, what is the Tzarech? And what is the Harish of Kolshi in the Mishkan? And the Gemara answers that a small hole that you dig into the ground is Chazi Lebizra Dekara. It's fit for planting a seed of a gourd, which is a type of a vegetable. He translates it as a pumpkin. So he's got a seed for pumpkins. And all he has to do is dig a small hole in the ground in order to put the pumpkin seed in the ground, and he plants it. That's called Harisha Kolshi. The Kavase Gabi Mishkan, and ask me where there was such a thing in the construction of the Mishkan where they would dig a hole that was very small. Shekein Roy Lekelach Echad Shel Samamonim. He would be able to plant a seed that would be fit for one stalk of the herb that is necessary for the production of the dye in the Mishkan. So we have Samamonim, and we have to plant the Samamonim so that we could use them by soaking them, etc., etc., and cooking them to make a dye. In the production of the dye, it's worth it for him to have one single stalk of an herb. And therefore, if he digs a hole such that he can plant one stalk of an herb, that is enough to be chayv. Then he's got a malacha chashuva, and he's chayv. Now, with regard to meleches hotso, we had a gemara back on Daf Tzadi that the minimum shear for meleches hotso is to carry two pumpkin seeds in a rishus harabim. And we said that people don't bother with one pumpkin seed. Here, on the other hand, we're saying that a person's chayiv for plowing just one little hole that could accommodate nothing more than one single pumpkin seed. So Rashi and the Ritva really offer the answer to this problem. In the Gemara above on Daf Tzadi, we say that transferring, you would not, as we said, normally bother carrying more than two seeds. But if you're talking about plowing, every single hole that he plows is an entity unto itself. It's dug individually. It's not something that he does in, you carry out a whole slew of seeds. The minimum will be two seeds. But with regard to plowing, he digs a hole, and that's a significant activity because he can plant one seed in that hole. Next, Hamanakesh Vehamakarsem Vehamazared. So we spoke about weeding, we spoke about pruning dry branches, pruning young shoots, and we said that he's chayav even for a kol shu. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, Hatolesh Ulshin. Ulshin in English is called endives. Okay, this is based on the Rav Bar Tanura to Psachim. And he plucks endives, or Hamazared Zrodim. He prunes reeds. Imlachilah, if his intention is to collect these endives or these reeds for the purpose of achila, then we have the shear of ochla, which is called in Hilchos Shabbos kigrogeres, a dried fig. Imla behem, on the other hand, if he's intending it to feed it to the animal, then it depends which material is appropriate for which animal. And here in the case of ulshin or zrodim, this is appropriate for a gdi, for a young goat. So kimlo pi agdi, that's going to be the shear of menakesh, makarsem, and mezarit, assuming that he wants to feed it to an animal. Imla hesek, but if he's collecting these endives or these reeds in order to use them as fuel for his fire, then the shear is going to be kedei levashel beitzakala. How much of a volume of endives or reeds does he have to gather together in order to create a fire which be sufficient to cook a very easily cooked egg? Imliapos es hakarka. If, on the other hand, he wants to improve the karka, kol shehen, then we're talking about the malacha of choresh, which is yipui karka. And with regard to choresh, we have a rule that you're chayev for a kol shu. So the endives and the reeds, when they're soft, they're usually plucked for human consumption. Later on, if they begin to harden, you harvest them for animal feed. And those that are left in the ground, and they become completely dried out, they gather it for use as fuel for a fire. So if you uprooted these zrodim, whether it be the reeds or the endives, when they were still moist and they're fit for human consumption, then human consumption is always defined by a grogeres. If he gets to the second stage and they're beginning to get hard and we could only use them for the animal, then we look at the measure of a goat's mouth. And that's a bit larger than a grogeres. So we're going lakula here. Now, if he waits until they're completely dry and then he uproots them, and then you're talking about a measure that is fit for creating a fire, a food, a fuel that is enough to cook a chicken's egg, then that's going to be the shear once it's completely dried up and it's only fit for fuel. Okay, that's as far as Rodim and Olshin are concerned. Now we move on to a different question, and that is Otu kulu lo liapos sakarka ninu. In other words, why do you tell me that if he weeds the ulshin and the zrodim in an earlier stage, then he's chayev because he prepares for human consumption, and you automatically are improving. Okay, so the Gemara's kasha is as follows. Yeah, let me read to you the translation of the Gemara's kasha. Just 1 second, sorry. He says the following: all the tlishos in the different methods that are mentioned in this brisa, aren't they all miapos hakarka? So again, even if his Iker Kavoda, his primary intention is not for that, but nevertheless, he is in fact, this objective reality, improving the Karka. So why shouldn't he be Chayev for a Kolshu under Meleches Choresh? You're telling me, well, if it's for Achila, then it's Grogeres. If it's for animal fodder in the second stage, when it begins harder, then it's Kemoli Piagdi. But it's only in the last case that you mention a kol shehu because of the yipui karka. But why is that so? I mean, in each one of the cases, he has a yipui karka. And Rabba and Rav Yosef are so impressed by this question that they insist that the case in this braisa, the scenario, is by agam shanu. These shiurim were given in a place where there's no makom zriya. Charish is always a preparation for zriya. So if you're asking me why shouldn't he be chayv with a kol shu based on meleches choresh, the answer is if there's a marshland and it's not a makom zriya, it's not fit or suitable for planting, then he has no other need here other than what he needs it for. In other words, to feed a person or feed an animal, there's no yipui karka over here. We could talk about Hesek, and then he's chayiv for Meleches Kotzer. But there's no Meleches Choresh here because it's not possible to prepare the Karka if it's called an Agam. So he could only be chayiv for whatever Melech he's chayiv for, if it's Ketzira, or perhaps it's going to be a Melech of No, actually, let me take that back. All these cases are Meleches Kotzer, right? If it's L'Achilas Adam, the shear is going to be Kigo Geres. If it's Achilas Behema, Kamali Piagdi, and Lehesek, etc. But in all these cases, he's Chayv Mishum Meleches Ktsira. But in the last case of Liapos HaKarka, which again, now we're no longer talking about a marshland, and here he's actually improving the karka for Zriya, then he's chayav for Kolshu, because that's Meleches Choresh. Now, Abai offers an alternative answer to this question as to why in the various cases in the Brice we have various Shi'urim, but we don't subsume all of them under Harisha, and you would not need those Shi'urim that are mentioned in the Brice, because Harisha's Bekolshu is Afilu Tema Besada, even if we assume we're talking about a very productive field and not a marshland, the Lavagam, it's not a marshland, nevertheless, Kigon, the Lo Kamachavi. Now we have an issue of Dover Sheni Miskavi, because if his kavana is to eat the olshin, etc., or to feed the olshin to his animal, or alternatively he needs it for hesek to keep the bonfire going as fuel, then he has no interest in meleches harisha. In other words, he has no interest simply in planting. That's not why he's doing what he's doing. He wants to use the olshin and the zrodim, whether it's for Michael this, Michael that, or Haseka, but he has no interest in improving the land. And here, Abai is accepting the shita of Rab Shimon, which we had back on Daf Mem Aleph from Midbeis, that Dover Sheni Miskavin is potter. Again, we have to ask the old question of Psik Reisha, which we'll get to in just a minute, but this is a Dover Sheni Miskavin. So therefore, his kavana in these asios is for feeding this and feeding that and sukkah, whatever it might be. Therefore, we apply those shiurim as minimum requirements. And as far as Choresh is concerned, he's not going to be chayiv because it's a dover she'eno miskavi. Now, the classic case, back on Daf Mem Aleph, you may remember, was Gorer Kisei Safsol. He wants to relocate the couch and he's dragging them over soil, and he may be making charitzim, which is meleches choresh. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say he's chayiv in that case, and Rabbi Shimon says he's potter because it's a dover she'eino miskavin. And now we're ready for the classic kasha v'ho abaye v'rov ni'ami travaya moda Rabbi Shimon psikreish v'lo yomus. Right, if you cut off the head of a chicken, it's going to die. So you can't say, well, he wanted the head of a chicken, he's not interested in killing the chicken. Because when the repercussion, the impact is definite and predictable, then you can't say you didn't have kavana. I mean, there's a Meiri who says that a psik reisha makes a dover she'eino miskavin into a dover miskavin. So therefore, Abai says that this braisa is dealing with a case where he didn't have kavana for yipui karka, but we know for sure, without any doubt, there's going to be yipui karka. And therefore, he should be chayv for sure for meleches choresh with a kol shehu, even if it's dover she'eino miskavin. Lo tzricha de ka'ovid bi'ara dechavre, that he's working not in his own backyard, his own field, but rather in his friend's field. And this introduces the concept of psik reisha de lo nichole. Right, every psik reisha, he gets benefit from it. Here, he doesn't get any benefit from it. And therefore, Rav Shimon would hold it still becomes a Dover Shein Miskavin when it's a Psik Reisha Delo Nichole. Now take a look for a moment at a small one-liner of a Tosus at the end of Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, Biara Dechavrei Pirish Dehavi Melocha Shein Etzricha Legufa. And the Gemara is assuming now, according to Tosus, that if he's improving the karka of his friend, that's called a Melocha Shein Etzricha Legufa. Now, the Gemara's argument was that there's Yipui Karka over here, and therefore he should be chayv for Choresh with a kol shehu. Now, what difference does it make whether he's being miyapa his own Karka or someone else's Karka? I mean, it doesn't seem to be a classic Melacha Shein Etzricha Legufa. Unless what the Gemara is saying is that we're dropping the ball on Rav Shimon, forget about Rav Shimon, in terms of Dover Sheni Miskaven. We've already closed the door on that because it's a secretious situation. He's definitely going to be Miyap the Karka. That's objective and certain, but we can still introduce another sheet of Reb Shimon that has nothing to do with this Reb Shimon of Dover Sheni Miskaven, and that's the Reb Shimon of Loch Sheni Tzricha Legufo, which is Potav Alasar. And if it's Potav Alasar, then we're now learning a price of Tolish Ulshin in order to set up a Chiyuv Chatos, and that's a Doraisa violation. Here, we're not dealing with an Isa Doraisa because of Malach Sheni Tzricha Legufa. Now, what makes into Malach Sheni Tzricha Legufa, that's already more complicated because what is the difference between his Karka and the other Karka? So you're going to have to say that what Tosis is thinking is that if it's his own Karka, then he has a double purpose in mind. Whether consciously or subconsciously, he has in mind both gathering together food for human or this or fuel, the whole 9 yards, and at the same time he wants to improve his karka. But he has no intention to improve his karka if he's doing it in his friend's field, and that remains a Malach Sheni Tzricha Legufa. But before we see Tosfos, we explain the Gemara based on Rashi, and we're talking about a Pesik Reisha, which is Lo Nichole. And that's based on a sugya earlier we had about Potzea Chilazon, if you remember, where he was piercing this fish, and he was trying to extract the blue dye, the blue blood, and he wanted to keep the animal alive, and he's not Chayef in Etilas Neshama because it's a Pesik Reisha Lo Nichole. And now we pick up Meleches Kosev. And that is the second Mishnah here on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. HaKosev Shtei Osios. He's chai for a shear of 2 osios. Bein b'yamino, bein b'smolam. And that's going to be the Gemara's problem. Why would he be chai for his left hand? That should be a classic case of Shalo Kedarka. Why would he be chai? Then the Mishnah continues. Bein v'shem echad, bein v'shtei shemos. It matters not whether he writes 2 different letters or the same letter twice. And it would seem offhand that the shear of Beis Osios has nothing to do with creating a new name, because let's say, for example, he repeats an aleph twice. What word does he have that has 2 alephs in it? So we'll see all this in the Gemara, but I'm just giving you a preview. This possibly, at least in the Havamina, might redefine the Malacha of Kosev. It's just 1 os and then another os. It's a shear in how many ksivos he had, not in the heft of creating a shame. Then it says, Bein v'shtei samimonios. It doesn't matter if he wrote these 2 letters from 2 different minim, 2 different kinds of dyes, or inks, I would say. Like, let's say, for example, there's Dio and there's Sikra, so he wrote 1 letter with Dio, another with Sikra, and he's going to be Chayev. So we don't, once again, we seem to have a reframe here that it's just 1 ksiva, 1 os, and then another ksiva of another os, and then we have the Chashivus of Meleches, the violation of Meleches, ksiva. Okay. Now, he mentions here that Sikra is called vermilion. Well, I'm not pronouncing it right. Vermilion. Not sure exactly what that is, but it's some sort of an ink that probably has a red color to it. Then the Mishnah says, Bechol Lashon. He doesn't have to write letters in Lashon Kodesh. It doesn't make any difference. As long as he's writing 2 letters in any language, he's gonna be chayev. And Omer Rav Yossi, lo chivu shtei osios el mishum roshem. This is a complicated, challenging statement of Rav Yossi, that when you write 2 osios, you're not chayev for the osios, which would be Meleches Kosev, but you're chayev for creating 2 symbols. Which is called roshem when you write symbols. Like, say, for example, kach kosvin Al Karshia Mishkan, Rav Yossi illustrates his point by the Krushim. They needed to know which two Krushim would go together after they disassembled the Mishkan and then put it back, assembled it again. So they put simonim on each Keresh to know that they belong together. And what did they use as simonim? They used osio. So this one had an aleph on it, and this one had an aleph. You knew that they go together. And when they would carry the Mishkan from place to place, and they would take it apart, and then re-erect the Mishkan, they would have to lay the ezo ben zug, which of the two krushim belong together, in a certain seder, that they were like partners. So they would make a simon on every single one of the krushim. And he's chayev on writing osios, not dafka osios, because again, now we're talking about symbols. It doesn't really matter whether the symbols were whatever symbols you want to come up with, or they were osios. So therefore, although the Mishnah in the Reisha, reflecting the sheet of the Tanakhama, seems to assume that we're talking about Melechas Kosev, and for that you have to write two letters, whatever language, but two letters. Rabbi Yossi is saying, no, we're talking about not two Osios as Ksiva, but two Osios as Roshem, in which it doesn't have to be Osios in any language. It could just be symbols. Now again, would these two symbols have to be the same? In other words, is each symbol related to the second, the other symbol, or no, just they're symbols, and they could be connected with other objects that have the same symbols? That's a question in how to understand Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi really doesn't have a malacha called Kosev. His name, his category is Roshem, because that's what took place in the Mishkan. And Kosev, according to Rabbi Yossi, would only be a toldo of Meleches Roshem. Or maybe it's called an Av of Roshem, but he'd be chayv as Roshem. The Tanakhama has the Melech is called Kosev. That's the name of the category. And according to the Tanakhama, that's what was done in the Mishkan. They wrote Osios on the Krushim. And according to Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky in the Divrei Yechezkel, he claims that according to the Tanakhama, Roshem itself is only an Isur D'Rabbanan. So we really have, according to the Chazon Yechezkel, we have two extremes over here. We have Rabbi Yossi, who says that the Malacha, the Av Malacha, is Roshem, and now we have the Tanakhama, who holds that Roshem is not even, doesn't even register on the Torah biblical Richter scale. It's only an Isur D'Rabbanan. The Rambam holds in his Pirush HaMishnayos here that even Rabbi Yossi agrees that Kosev is an Av Malacha. Rabbi Yossi wants to add another Av Malacha, which is called Roshem. And that's a derivation of the fact that the Simonim on the Karshi of Mishkan was Roshem. Now when he writes that, when Rabbi Yossi formulates his halacha that writing two letters is Chayav Mishum Roshem, what he really means to say is that Kosev Shtei Osios is not Chayav Mitzad the Malach of Kosev, but rather Mitzad the Malach of Roshem. And the question always arises, so in what scenario would you be chayav for ksiva, for Meleches Kosev? Because the Rambam holds that Rabbi Yossi is only adding another Av Malacha called Roshem. But even Rabbi Yossi agrees that there's a Meleches Kosev. But now you're telling me that when you write two Osios, then according to Rabbi Yossi, you chayav Mishum Roshem. So in what scenario would you be chayav for Meleches Kosev? So it could be that according to the Rambam, just throwing out a possibility here, in order for Rabbi Yossi to be mechayiv for Meleches Kosev, you would need a what we call a ksiva gemura, a complete ksiva that might not be able to be achieved with two osios. And perhaps that would mean you'd have to write a word, although there are words that are made up of two osios, so that's not going to really help me much. According to Rabbi Yossi, then Kosev b'tchila kama osios, if he wrote a number of different letters and then he wrote two osios and they were all Be'alim Achas, it's possible that he'd be chayv two chatos, because Melechas Kosev and Melechas Roshim are two separate melachos. And again, we're going to have to subtract one melach in order to maintain the number 39. Now, the Mishnah says that the Shir Ksiva Fachiv Ksiva Melechas Kosev is Shtei Osios. What we don't see in the Mishnah is what happens if he intended to write more than Shtei Osios, but at the end he only wrote two Osios. Lonis Bayer, he says in Cain, Rakhmi is coming lichto Shtei Osios Vilvad, Ubiksiva Hushlubu Malachto. O Rabbi Yehuda Matzinu Shem Koton Mishem Godol, which would mean that even though he had intended to write a larger, longer word, but he wrote two osios, if those two osios form a word, then although his intention was to write a longer word and he only wrote a shorter word, he'll be chayav. And he, Rabbi Yehuda, illustrates this by telling you, Shem Mishimon, or Mishmuel, or Noach, Minochar, Don, Minochar, Don, Midonil, and God, Migadil. So that his intention was to write Shimon, but he wrote Shin Mem, and that's the word Shem, or he had intention to write Shmuel, and he wrote Shin Mem. In the case of Noach, he really had in mind to write Nachar, and he only wrote the first two letters, which is Noach, but that's okay, because that's a word. And if he intended to write Daniel, and he only wrote Dalet Nun two Osios, he'll be Chayev, just like if he intended to write Gadil, and he only wrote Gimel Dalet, God, because in all these cases, he has a shorter word, and it has meaning, and it's a significant word, and therefore, even though he had Kavana for a longer word, he's Chayev for a shorter word. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Just to take a look at the Gemara says, Bishlema, Ayamin l'chayv. I understand why it's chayv for ksivas yad yamin. That's mishum de derech ksivakach. That's normal writing. Elad b'smol asmol. Am I chayv? Ain't derech ksivakach? That's not a kedarka. This would be kalach yad classic, and he shouldn't be chayv. Om Rav Yirmiyah biter yad shonu. So Mishnah, when it mentions that you chayv for ksiv yad smol, it's talking about a lefty. So the Gemara asks, v'tevi smol di day ki yamin de kuli alma. Let the left hand of a lefty be like the right hand of everybody else, and therefore, asmol lechayv, ayamin lo lechayv. Should we therefore say that a lefty would not be chayv for writing with his right hand? And yet the Mishnah says that a kosev yad yamin is chayv, unless we say it's only referring to a righty. And that's exactly what we're going to say. Elamar Abaye, when the Mishnah says you can be chayv for both right hand and left hand writing, that's be adam hasholet b'shtei yadav. He's ambidextrous. So for him, it's considered normal writing, but whether he uses his right hand or his left hand. We have an alternative answer from Rav Yaakov Berei de Bas Yaakov. He says, Hamani, the Tanav HaMishnah, who says that if your derech is to write with the yamin, your chayev, even if you write with a left hand, that's Rabbi Yossi. He diomar lochivu shtei osios el mishum roshem. Now, if the malach is not ksiva, which requires a very, very, you know, perfect and skilled kind of writing, which you can only do with your hand, whether you're writing with your right hand, etc. But if we're talking about malach as roshem, all you have to do is create some sort of a simon, some sort of a symbol. You're not creating very fine letters. And it matters not whether you write with your right hand or your left hand. So Gemara asks a kasha, I'm in a sefer, but technically I don't understand how you can tell me that the author is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi only appears as a view in the sefer with regard to Roshem, but the implication is Reisha Lav Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara answers Kula Rabbi Yossi. The entire Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, is authored attributed to Rabbi Yossi, according to this approach of Rabbi Yaakov. And when it says Omer Rav Yossi in the Sefer that you're not chayv shtei osios but rather mishum roshem, his intention was to say that this is the explanation for the resha itself. Now, as why you chayv in the resha for left-handed or right-handed writing, the answer is because you're chayv mishum roshem. So the entire Mishnah is a reflection of the Shita of Rav Yossi. Now the Gemara raises a stira lechor between Rabbi Yehuda and Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda and Abraisa. In our Mishnah it says, on Rabbi Yehuda Matsinu, that a person be chayev for writing a shame katan from a shame gadol, like shame Mishimon. Ella, from the examples that we see there, Rabbi Yehuda mentioned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda holds, then only shtei osios vehem shnei shemos, hu demachayev, but shtei osios vehem shem echad, lo machayev. So it seems that all the examples that were given by Rabbi Yehuda and Mishnah were always two different letters. Right? For example, we have the case of Shin Mem in the case of Shmuel or Shimon. And then we have the case of Nun and Ches, or Gimel and Dalet. All these cases are cases where you have two different letters that he wrote. And the implication is that Rabbi Yehuda's choice of these examples was deliberate, and therefore, by implication, if you had two osios, which were the same identical osios, like, let's say, for example, he wrote the word sheish, which is shin shin, and he really was intending to write a longer word called shin shin chaf. Or, for example, he wanted to write the word titain or titnaim, and instead he wrote tuf tuf lo machayev. He would not be chayev, because if he's writing only part of what he intended to write, then he has to write two different letters, and there's not enough chashivus in part of a word if the same letter appears twice for Asanya. But we have a brisa that contradicts this. In the parasha of Anasi Shechata Bishkoga, it says, Vayikredal, V'yosa achas mikol mitzvah Hashem Elokecha, Elokav, Ashelo, says, Senu Bishkoga. And from the fact that it says achas, it implies that he did a chet with one complete pu'ula. Yochel, I might think, Achiyichtov kol Hashem, then maybe he's not chayev until it's v'asa a complete pu'ula shlema. But if he wrote part of the name, part of the word that he intended to write, he'll be patur. Or, for example, achiyerog kol abegin, unless he finishes weaving the entire garment, the achiyasa kol hanofach. And all these kind of cases is where he intended to do a certain malacha, and he's only chayev if he does the entire malacha. It shouldn't say napach. I'm sorry, my mistake. It should say nafa, which is a sieve. So he built a kli, and he has to complete the kli in order to be chayev. Talmud lomar me'achas. There's another pasuk where the Torah added a mem, and that implies that he would be chayv even if he didn't do the entire malacha as he had planned to do, so he did only part of the malacha. But now the question is, Imeachas, Yochai might go as far as to say, Afilu lo kosev ela os achas, lo orag ela chut echad, lo osa ela bayis echad benofa, one the handle eye of the sieve, because after the weaver of a reed sieve lays out the warp in order to form the, let's call it the skeleton of the sieve, then he runs two reeds through them, one above the warp and one below it, and it loops in and out alternatively, and he wants to lock the warp reeds in place. So one cross reed would not suffice since the warp reeds would be loose at the other end, and that's going to impede his weaving. So I might think that if we have me'achas, that tells me even one letter is enough, and one thread is enough, and one hedelai, which we said the hedelai refers to each of the rings that hold the warp thread of a garment in place. So the case of a reed sieve or a basket, it is these two weft reeds that perform the function of the hedelais. Talmud Lomer here on the top of Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Beis. For this we have a pasuk that says Achas, which means you don't need Me'achas. You don't have to complete the entire I'm sorry. That achas means you have to complete the entire entity that you had intention of creating. Hakesa. So how do we reconcile the achas, which seems to indicate you have to do the whole thing, and the me'achas, which seems that you do part of the thing? Ketzad? And the answer is, and chayvat sheyichtov shem katan mishem gadol. And that's shem mishimon umishmuel. Noach minochar, Gad from Gadiel, Dan from Daniel, and the Brisa so far reflects our Mishnah, word for word. But now the Brisa quotes Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and he seems to contradict what he himself wrote in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afilo Kosovel Shte Osios Vehein Shem Echad Chayev. So he wrote the same letter twice, and he's going to be Chayev, Kigon, Sheish, Tais, Rod, Rar, excuse me, Gag, Choch. And then the Braisa finally quotes other opinions, and again we'll get back to the stira in Rabbi Yehuda and how to reconcile that. Amar Rabbi Yossi, v'chi mishum kosev hu chayev, halo enu chayev elo mishum roshem, shekein roshem imakar shei hamishkan leida ezu ben zugo, l'fichach sarat srita achas al shnei nisarim, o shtei sritos al neser echad chayev. So Rabbi Yossi goes on record as to say that he's chayev for making symbols in order that we, as in the Mishkan, to combine and connect two boards, to crush him. So therefore, if he creates, let's say, a scratch, a seret is like a scratch, a srita, and he can put a seret on one board, and then another seret on another board, and that's going to allow him to match. Or even if he puts two scratches on one board, then he's created a simon, and he's chayev. So he didn't write any letters. So we have so far three opinions. We had the Tanakhama saying that he has to have two different letters when he intended to write a larger word. Rabbi Yehuda says even he writes the same letter twice, and Rabbi Yossi says he doesn't need letters at all. All he needs is symbols. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, he darshins v'osa achas. Yochanan might think achiyichtov es kol Hashem. The word achas means the totality. So if he planned to write a word, he has to write the entire word until he's chayv, or achiyera kol begin, until he weaves the entire garment, achiyasas kol anofa, until he completes the entire sieve, as he had intended to do. So Tamalomar, me'achas. Me'achas means a segment. I me'achas, yochal afilo kosvelo osachas filo aragelechut echad afilu lo osa elo echad bayis echad benafa. Tamalomar achas. Ha'ketzad, enochai vachiyasem alocha shekayotzi bo miskayemes. In other words, he's not going to be chayev until he performs some sort of malacha of the type which will have permanence. And this is Reb Shimon. Apparently Reb Shimon is deriving from this pasuk that he's only chayev if he does a portion of his intention, but that portion itself will endure on its own. It has chashivus on its own. And this we spoke about in the case where he dug a cavity into the piece of wood, and he, and even though he only dug three lugim and there's plenty of room to expand the kli, but nevertheless it would endure, and it's a malacha miskayem, so therefore he's chayev. And now we have Rabbi Yossi again, a second round of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, v'osa achas v'osa heina. How do we reconcile the achas, which implies the entire malach, and now we have hena, and hena sounds like he violates many. The word hena is in plural, many transgressions. Is pam shechayev achas al kulam upam shechayev al kol achas v'achas. And this was sugya that we learned back in Perikol Gadol, that there's aloch of malachos mechalkos, and therefore he's going to be chayev al kol achas v'achas, but there are situations in which he was shogeg the Shabbos, and therefore he brings one chatos for all the different malachas. That's called achas. Hena, on the other hand, is a case where he was aware of the Shabbos, but he was unaware of the malachas. So he brings a separate carbon chatos for each malacha. Okay, now we get back to Rabbi Yehuda. Ketani mia, we have in the price there Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilo kosev el shtei osios vehen shem echad chayav. So he writes the same letter twice, and he forms a letter like Sheish, Teis, and Rar, and Gag, and Chach, as we mentioned earlier. And that's the exact opposite of the diuk, of the implication that we had from Rabbi Yehuda's and Mishnah, because Rabbi Yehuda's and Mishnah was always consistently talking about two different letters. Lokasha, the Gemara says, Enochinavi, these are two shitas that cannot be reconciled, but Hadidei, Habrabei. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda's own shita, that's called the day, is reflected in our Mishnah, and you'd have to write two different letters in order to be chayev when you didn't complete your intention. And the brisa, which expands the chiyuv to a case where you rewrote the same letter twice, that's dirabe. Okay, what's dirabe in the name of his Rebbe? The Sanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum, Rav Gamliel. Afilo kosvel shtei al sil sveim shem echad chayev kigon sheish teis ror gag v'choch. And this is Rabbi Yehuda in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel. He himself said, you're only chayev if you write two letters that are different, one from the other. And that's Rabbi Yehuda reflected in our Mishnah. So at this point, the Gemara is very happy that we were miyashiv the stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa. But let's look at the Braisa itself. Rabbi Shimon, Hainu Tanakama. We don't see a difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama, because both of them say that you chayev for any two letters, even if the two letters are the same identical letters. And we can identify that as Ram Gabliel, but in any event, the Braisa brings out Rabbi Shimon as well. Now again, Rabbi Shimon is saying that if he has the same letter twice, it's like having two scratches twice, which means that it's chayev midin roshem. And then we had another statement of Rav Shimon at the end of this brisa, that that you need a malacha shekayotze bezeh miskayemes. I'm sorry, so leave out Rav Yossi now. Now we're focusing exclusively on Rav Shimon. And Rav Shimon requires a malacha miskayemes, which would apply even if he writes the same letter twice, like for example Sheish, that would be considered a malacha miskayemes, kayotze bezeh miskayemes. So the bottom line is that both the Tanakama, whose opinion is explicit that he could write the same two letters and yet he's chayev even though the letters are identical, And Rabbi Shimon later on, who says you need a malacha miskayemes, they seem to be saying the exact same thing. And the Gemara is going to now suggest that perhaps the nafkamina would be in a case where he writes the same letter twice, and it doesn't form any word at all. We're looking for a case where he wants to write a longer word. He only wrote two letters of that word, but those two letters were identical, but yet they don't form a word unto itself. So on the one hand, according to Tanakama, maybe Bichayev, because he did write two letters. According to Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, it's not Miskayemes, because it doesn't have any significance to it. So what would be a case where he writes two letters of a longer word and they do not form any word at all? Is Aleph Aleph de Aazreka Ikabinai. So he repeats the letter Aleph twice, and it doesn't form a word. So Tanakama Sovra Aleph Aleph de Aazreka Lo Mechayev. Well, just the opposite of what we said. Because now he's going to be potur, because all the cases mentioned by the Tanakama are words. Rabbi Shimon Sofer came with the Issa Begalatore. This is what we didn't have. Another element into the equation called Galatore. And these are amulets, which we had a long discussion about in the earlier perek about Bamei Isha Yotzeis. And if you have Aleph Aleph that are commonly written in amulets, then that's called a Dover HaMeskayim Kayotze Bozeh. Came in the Isa Begalatu V'Alma Chayev, according to Rav Shimon V'Chayev. And it means that Rav Shimon is coming to be Machmir vis-a-vis the Tanakama. And the Tanakama requires two letters, even the same two letters, but at least they form a word. Now Rashi says there's nowhere in scriptures where you could have a word that's an aleph and an aleph, which ostensibly makes sense. In any event, the Gemara is bothered by the fact that Rav Shimon is the machmir here, lememar of the Rav Shimon lechumra, and Yochai for aleph aleph d'azreka, because it appears in a galtore. Vasani, we have another braisa that says hakodeach kol shu chayav. If he drills any small kind of a hole, he's chayav. And it implies that even if the hole, Rashi says, doesn't go all the way through and through to the other side of the wood, he'll be chayav. That's called kolshu. Amagarer kolshu, he scrapes a pole or a piece of parchment, and he's chayav for a kolshu. We're talking about a told of memachek, which is smoothing, which we'll get to, mitzashem. Then we have ma'abed, he tans any amount of a hide, kolshu is chayav. And it means he didn't tan the entire hide as he intended to, but a portion that was large enough to form an amulet. And then we have Hatzar Bekli Tzura Kol Shehu. So he engraves some sort of a shape in a kli. And even if this shape is a kol shehu, he's still chayav. L'chora is chayav for makav patish. That would be a simple pshat because he embellishes, he beautifies this kli. And Rav Shimon says in all these cases, achi yigdach es kulo, achi yigor es kulo, achi ya'abid es kulo, achi yotzer kulo. Rav Shimon is the mekil, and he says, yinach chayav, until he drills the entire hole from one side to the other, or he scrapes the entire pole, or the entire piece of parchment, or he tans the entire hide, and not just enough for an amulet, or he engraves the entire design, I guess, whatever he had set out to do. So it comes out that Rav Shimon is the mekil. Now you're turning it around, and you're telling Rav Shimon is going to say that in the Aleph Aleph he's the machmir. So the Gemara doesn't want to assume so. Rav Shimon ha'osel ha'shmina ha'chiyuchta v'sashem kulo. That fakir Rav Shimon is the mekil, and what he derives from these two psukim is that you need a melocha miskayemes, that in and of itself it's significant because he created a word. And in this case, the entire word that he originally planned. So that's what Reb Shimon meant to say in the Braisa, that a person's not chayev until he performs a melacha miskayemes, meaning the type of labor that reflects his true desire and his intention, which he would allow to endure. Again, it's a little bit of a push in the language of Rav Shimon in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, "Umi matzis amrit hachi." Can we actually push this into the Braisa? Vasanya, Rav Shimon Omer viasa achas yochal atchiyichtov esashem kulo tamid lomer meachas. So clearly, Rav Shimon is saying meachas. You don't have to perform the entire work and labor as you had originally planned, and you chayiv in anyway. So the Gemara answers, Tritz v'ema hachi. We're going to have to sort of reformulate the Braisa. Yochol, ad sheyichtov es haposuk kulo. Would you think that he has to write the entire verse that he had planned to write, Tamid Lomar Me'achas, which means that you chayiv for part of the verse, part of the posuk, but you need a complete teva, complete word. And that's called a Dovra Miskayet. That's called something that will endure. Because although he had planned to make more words, at least, and form an entire sentence or paragraph, but at least he wrote one single word. And it comes out that, again, Rabbi Shimon is the Makil, and he's going to say that you're not chayev for Aleph, because that doesn't form a complete word, and Rabbi Shimon requires a complete word. The Tanakhama, on the other hand, holds that Aleph Dezreka, and Rabbi Yossi is Lekula, because he needs you to write a full word, whereas the Tanakhama Rabbi Yehuda are going to be Machmir, and they're going to say that you're Chayev even on less than a word. So let's summarize four shitos in Ksiva Hashem Katan Mishem Gadol. First of all, we start with the shita Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, which is also the Tanakhama of the Braisa, that he's Chayev on Shem Katan Mishem Gadol only if they're two different letters, like Shem Mishimon. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda continuously and constantly quotes two letters that are different in every single case that he lists in the Mishnah. Then we have Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, which is really the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel, that he's Chayav for a Shem Katan from a Shem Gadol, even if it's the same two letters, like Sheish Mi Shechecha. Then we have the Shita Rabbi Shimon, that he's not Chayav for writing a Shem Kat Mi Shem Gadol in any event. And Rabbi Shimon holds he has to write a complete word in order to be chayev. Then we have the shita Rabbi Yossi, that not only is he chayev for writing two letters, but he's also chayev for making two reshimos, like sritos. That enough is enough to be mechayev him. And therefore, if he writes two letters, even if they're the same two letters and they don't form a word, he's still going to be chayev. So that seems to be the overview of the various shitos. So this leads us to the Gemara of Rabbi Yossi Omer. Let's see. This is the ninth line down of the wide lines here on Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Beis.